Hello and welcome to the iWin podcast. I'm here today with Shane McGuinness from Pembroke Alliance, and we're just going to have a little chat about health and safety in the workplace. Thanks very much, Shane, for joining me. Much appreciated. We could start off. So who's responsible for health and safety in the workplace? I mean, is it the employer, the employees? I mean, who is ultimately responsible for health and safety?
Well, the duty occurs totally with the employer. And it always has been, and it's always will be. Now, there is a number of different things that the employers are responsible for, and it's all about the duty of care. It's all about compliance, legislation, making sure that everybody's insured, ultimately making sure that everyone's trained, commensurate to their job, which is a very important part of it, and that you produce safe systems of work, that machinery safe. And I suppose one of the big things about it is it's not just about knowing that everything's safe, it's about documentation. So it starts at documentation, it starts at your health and safety management system, and within that management system is an array of things, different items, different modules, different policies that makes the company compliant. And that's an important part of it.
Okay, so ultimately, me as the employer, I should be very proactive on this.
Absolutely, yeah.
So how does this work? Do I, for example, then, and when you're talking about documentation, I have to develop some sort of a safety statement or a statement that all of my employees can view? How would I develop that? Would I be able to write it myself, or is there a template that I can use?
There is this myth that you go online and you pull off things from the Google, and that's one of the mistakes a lot of companies make. When we talk about what we do and everything I do, it's bespoke to the business. You can't have a similar health and safety management system for a doctor's surgery or a delicatessen or a petrol station than you could have for a building site, a woodworking factory, or anything of that nature. Everything's different. The risks are different. So you have to be able to do it bespoke to what you're doing for your business, but also it takes years of training to be able to do it right. And I think that's where, when you don't, health and safety is an unusual thing. It's like if you're 70% compliant with health and safety, you're still not 100% compliant. And that's the ultimate problem you have when insurance companies get involved. They can tend to find gaps in the business. And they find gaps in your compliance and legislation, and they use that generally at times as a stick to beat you. So I always will say it's best to get somebody in that's qualified. It's best to get somebody in. And even though some people might say, well, this guy really doesn't know our business, that doesn't ultimately matter. Because when I'm going in to do a risk assessment on a specialized piece of machinery, I do that risk assessment with the man that works that machine, because he knows it better than anybody. So that's, hopefully I've answered that question for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, what we're saying then in terms of health and safety, that basically it's black and white. You either have it 100% or you're lacking.
Yeah.
So you have to be on the ball. In terms of the size of businesses that would require, say, having a safety statement or having health and safety policies in place, if I'm a sole trader and I'm working for myself, do I still have to have, I mean, obviously I'll have safe systems of work, but do I still have to have documentation in relation to what I'm doing? Or is there a point at which you'd have to have documentation if you're a bigger business, for example?
For a small business, the two things to be careful about is that an insurance company might insure you, but they might tend to say that they're expecting that you have paperwork, procedures, policies, and things like that. And that's to get you insured. The other thing is, if you're a sole trader working for a big company, they will also expect you to have documentation, but from a legal requirement, you need to have more than three staff to justify having a health and safety management system. As in, if you have less than three staff, you just need to make sure that you have your risk assessments in order. But from any small business now, from a cafe or a hairdressing salon that is 15 staff to an electrician that is 10 staff to a carpenter that is 12 staff, they all have a legal obligation. They have a duty of care to make sure that they have a health and safety management system in place. It's their duty.
Okay, well, let's say that we're in the woodworking business. So we'll say something goes wrong and one of the employees injures themselves on a saw blade or something.
Yep.
In that instance, who's going to be held accountable for that? I mean, obviously, the employee is working within the best of their abilities. The employer is providing safe systems of work. You know, would they be able to make a claim against me? How would my insurance cover me? Would my insurance then look for the documentation and proof that we're all operating within the way we should be, if you know what I mean?
There has been a lot of work done with insurance companies and the government over the last number of years to reduce insurance policies, to reduce the cost of premiums. They've come down and they're working on them to come down even further. But what I know for a fact over my experience with working in 30, 40 different companies is that the gloves are off with insurance companies. They are now coming in after an accident and they are looking for every possible way of finding a gap to be able to say to you, we only insure you if you're compliant with the law. If you're 50% compliant with the law, that means you're 50% that you're not compliant. So you're not compliant. So we're not going to cover you. So we're not going to pay out the claim. So it's a 100,000 claim, you pay it out. Or a 500,000 claim, you pay it out. We're not paying it. Okay. The way that to be compliant is, for what I do for companies, when I go in, is I make sure they're compliant. I make sure they have the paperwork in order, the policies, the procedures, the documentation, the risk assessments, training records, and all that stuff that goes with a health and safety management system. And then when an accident happens, God forbid, I come in, I deal with the insurance company for them. We look at making sure that the insurance company is satisfied that we are covered. And then the insurance company covers you. They pay for the claim if it goes to claim. Now, 90% of them are going to claim anyway. But when you get to that court case situation and you're in dealing with a barrister, these guys are very clever and they're asking you all the tough questions. Were they trained? Have you a training matrix? Who trained them? Was the person that trained them qualified? Who did your risk assessments? Was the person that did the risk assessment qualified to do it? And these are the questions you're going to answer. These are the tough questions for if something goes wrong. I mean, in the perfect world, if nothing goes wrong, everybody's fine. But companies that are out there that could be very successful, that could have put their heart and soul into a business. A lot of the woodworking businesses are family-run businesses. They've put their life and soul into it. And suddenly one accident happens, somebody gets their arm chopped off or their finger or something happens, and suddenly the insurance company says, we're not paying out, and it's going to cost $300,000 or $400,000, and you pay it. And that's when somebody realizes, why was I not better at health and safety? Why did I worry about paying that few quid extra to make sure I was compliant? That's the key to making sure that you're right. Because, you know, at any stage, certainly with a high-risk business like woodwork and dealing with wood, you're dealing with saws, you're dealing with blades, you're dealing with dust, you're dealing with the really difficult thing about all the wood dust now and the new legislation around lungs and occupational health and how we're managing wood dust and how we're managing everything within a factory environment. If people are coming back years after the finishing businesses, putting claims in because they've got lung issues or stomach issues or respiratory issues. And we then have to go back to our 2020, 2021 and be able to show people we were reasonably practicable. We done enough to be right for it. We had a duty of care, we fulfilled it. And that means that the insurance company will then again cover us. It's the problem is when these people go back into businesses and you're standing there going, we don't have anything. That's when a company becomes extremely vulnerable.
Well, it's fair enough. I think with health and safety, everybody tries their best and they try to work, you know, safely. But it's one of those things that kind of you don't think about. It's not always in the forefront of your mind until something potentially goes wrong. And that's when it really comes after you, you know.
Absolutely.
But,
yeah.
But just interesting what you're talking about in terms of dust and various other things in businesses. What are some of the legal requirements? I mean, you have gone through some of it so far, but I mean, there's so many aspects to health and safety. I mean, it's not necessarily making sure you're at this saw and it's correct and you're working well. It's like you say, there's dust. I mean, you could have a coffee shop in your business or a canteen. There's loads of different aspects. So are there any particular areas that we should be wary of or that we might not necessarily think of immediately in relation to health and safety?
Skin conditions. Certain skin conditions, working with certain types of wood, the dust from certain types of wood. There's certain mahoganies out there that have a dust particles that actually do affect your lungs and can become cancerous, you know, through time. Okay. And these are little things that are happening to somebody that's working without face masks on and working without gloves on and working without goggles on. The other big thing in wood, the wood industry's particles of wood going into somebody's eye, maybe not getting it fixed on the day, maybe not receiving first aid in the day. And then a few days later, there's suddenly a rash and there's suddenly an infection in your eye that can become worse and worse as time goes on. People are taking time off to get that fixed. And then there's a risk assessment carried out in the wood industry now on whether or not people need annual occupational health checks by an occupational nurse. Now, it's not a very expensive thing, but it's a very important thing when it comes to that. We have done everything reasonably practical to be sure that our staff are safe and they're not creating an occupational health hazard from their working environment. And that is massively important.
And sorry, is that the current legislation, or is that just something that's in the works, having this occupational health checkup every year?
It's current legislation. Nobody does it. I mean, yes, there is big companies that do it. It's in there in the legislation that we're supposed to risk assess our staff and our working environment in a matter of whether or not we need to do occupational annual checks on our staff. So somebody working in a restaurant or a bar or a doctor's surgery, there's no problem. But somebody working in welding, steelworks, yeah, somebody working in woodwork, the new dust legislation came out 3 years ago. Very, very tough, very, very high-end legislation. And it's just another thing that we have to do to cover ourselves from a compliance point of view. And one of the problems with health and safety is sometimes I get in front of a group of people and we talk about health and safety. And in a lot of cases, the owners of the businesses, they don't actually know. They haven't been educated in the fact of things like that. So in a lot of cases, when they do know, they react. And it's the fact that they don't know and then something happens and then there's a case or a claim. And in some cases with occupational health claims, they're not 200,000 or 300,000, they're millions.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the risk you run with that. And it's, again, you're relying on insurance. Insurance company comes back in, we're not covering it because you didn't do an occupational health check annually. You never done a risk assessment. So because you weren't compliant, you can pay for it. And I stress this to so many people. It's so important. You know?
Yeah, but it goes back to what you were saying at the beginning, that the onus is really on the employer. So, I mean, you have to make sure that you've done the research and covered all of the bases so that you don't get caught out on anything. I fully agree with that. I mean, it's a huge a burden for employers, you know, among everything else that they're doing to try and stay on top of all this. And also, like you say, the legislation sort of evolves and gets upgraded over time. So keeping track of it can be very difficult. Just in terms of, if I have a business and I've got 10 or 20 employees working for me and I'm doing most of the health and safety myself, you know, I could be sort of ad hoc doing the health and safety for my business. Do I need to have a qualification to certify that I know what I'm doing, or do I have to have somebody designated or trained that knows what they're doing? You know, how much of this, I mean, we have said this before, but how much of it can you do yourself? And how much of it do you really need to get a third party for?
Well, it's a difficult question in the fact that if something goes wrong, it's one of the things that can come back and haunt you.
Yeah.
Somebody can say you've done a risk assessment, but you haven't done it properly. There's things you've left out. There's things you haven't done. Have you ever been qualified? You know, you're a woodworking expert, or you own a wood company. You know, you don't necessarily know how to carry out a risk assessment. So there's enough work for a company to do to run their business, and concentrating on running their business is what they should be concentrating on. And getting in somebody outside, I'm not necessarily saying a full-time health and safety person. I think you need to be very big to have a full-time health and safety person. But I think where our service comes in, where we come in once a month and we come back into your business and we watch what's happening, we internally and externally audit, and we make sure that your paperwork is right and everything's right, and we deal with things right, and we deal with accident investigations right. For that figure or that budget that you would spend on that. Because if we're in one day a month, there's 29 or 30 other days that you need to make sure you're doing your training records, you're doing your weekly records, you're doing your fire assembly checks, you're doing, there's enough work to do that anybody can do from that point of view. But when it comes to the real nitty gritty of documentation and handbooks and risk assessments and safe systems of work and specialized toolbox talks, it's very difficult for anyone to be able to do that themselves and to do it correctly.
This is fair enough. And I mean, this is where the likes of Pembroke come in for providing this sort of service to businesses. So if I have a business, we'll say I have 10 employees, we're operating a sawmill or we're doing whatever, it doesn't matter. Yep. It could be a coffee shop. But just if you're to come in to a business and to do an assessment, I mean, how does that, do you send somebody out or do you have a team of people who come in and do an audit and kind of give us an idea of where we're going wrong or where we need to improve, and you know, that they'll develop an overall safety statement,
yeah,
you know, from start to finish, if you know what I mean. You're coming into a blank kind of, you know.
Yeah, so in a blank canvas, and believe me, 95% of businesses are a blank canvas, you know. So what I tend to say to them is, right, okay, I'll come in, I'll spend 2 or 3 hours in your business, I'll look around, I'll look at what you're doing, I'll look at your paperwork, and I'll come back with a report to say, here's what I think yous are. Yous are at 20%, 10%, 30%, or 40%. And generally, it's always good to be able to go and say, here's all the things you're doing wrong. And actually, here's some of the things you're doing really right. And then what we generally do is I say, right, what Pembroke Health and Safety and HR will do is we will build a system where the initial setup is all your documentation, all your risk assessments, safe systems of work, handbooks, subcontractor handbooks and everything. We build all that for you. That could take 2 to 3 weeks to build that. And then what we do is we call in once a month or maybe once every 2 months. It depends on if it's a business with 40 staff or it's a business with 7 staff, you know. And basically, we keep on top of everything because 3 months down the line, legislation could change. So we have to update your paperwork automatically with a change of legislation. So this is the problem you get with people that are printing something offline or getting a guy in once off to say, oh, we'll do all your paperwork for you. And suddenly 18 months has passed when all that documentation is gone. It's out of order. It's null and void because documentation health and safety only lasts 12 months. So what we do is we keep everything up. We keep the momentum going. We keep somebody in there inside to be able to be the go-between between me and them. We keep the paperwork up to date with legislation. And then in 12 months, we update the legislation again. What we are is your health and safety manager that has years of expert experience, but you're paying minimal to the amount of money you'd pay if you wanted somebody like me full time. Okay. So that's where we have a beauty. So say you budget 15 grand a year, let's say, for a hit business with 15 or 20 staff, say they're budgeting 15 grand or something in that figure, or 10 grand or whatever it is. They say, well, there's our budget. That's what we're going to pay every year. But we have a full-time health and safety person because even the 30 days that I'm not there, I'm on the phone. I'm there to support. We're there in the background. We have a team of people in the office. We're there in the background all the time.
Yeah, and, it's fair enough. Yeah, but just a question on that. If you come in and you get the ball rolling and all that, you leave a business, for example, paperwork. So if there is an accident, like in terms of reporting, we'll say very simple, somebody burns their hand, you know, on the steam of a kettle or something.
Yeah.
Would we have to make a record of that? Would we have to keep that sort of nitty gritty level of paperwork for small instances or, you know, that you'd then come back and take away the paperwork for the Health and Safety Authority? Or do you know what I'm getting at?
If we had to report something to the Health and Safety Authority, I would tend to do that for them. Because, you know, that's if somebody's off work for more than 5 days. I generally tend to think about an accident as if you need first aid.
Yeah.
If something happens and you need first aid, that's an accident. And every single accident, you have to record. Doesn't matter what it is, you have to record it. Not hard. I've got an accident booklet over there, an A3 booklet, and it's a booklet with 50 sheets in it, duplicated, and it lasts most companies years, but you get it, you have it, and it's there. It it triggers you to say, to answer the questions. Have you taken photographs? You know, what have you done? How did it happen? Did you have to go to the doctor? Did you return back to work? What are we going to do as a business to make sure it doesn't happen again? What was the root cause of it? Did anyone witness it? And have your little file built up. Because unfortunately, we're living in Ireland. And what happens is somebody leaves the business and then a year later, a solicitor's letter comes in and they're suing you for something that happened while they were working in your business, and you have no file, you have no paperwork, so you've lost.
Yeah, no, this is just what I'm getting at in terms of, for a business, I mean, for covering themselves from every angle, that's what I'm saying. You guys will leave them say you're there one day a month and then for the other 29 days or whatever, but you'll leave them a system that they can record everything and make sure that they're covered from every angle. That's what I'm getting at. It's not, you know, that
That they're covered. Yeah.
Now, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, and if I always say to somebody, if you have an accident, ring me. Doesn't matter where I am. Doesn't matter if it's 12 o'clock, I need you to ring me, right? The worst thing that can happen is you have an accident, you don't ring me, and then you don't record it and you don't tell me. And I'm in it 3 weeks later and somebody says, oh, did you hear that Johnny had an accident? He fell down a ladder. No. And then I go to the managing director and I say, what about Johnny falling down the ladder? Ah, well, he's all right. He's grand.
Yeah.
That's not my fault. That is poor management to be able to say, because Johnny could leave and go to a woodwork company 40 mile up the road, and Johnny could decide that he wants to sue his old work company, you know, and he'll win. Because if we don't have our records in order and our paperwork in order and all our due diligence carried out, you're down 50 grand because the insurance company could turn around and go, we're paying him 50 grand, but we're not paying him, you are.
Well, just on that, in terms of the paperwork and the record keeping, do you keep a copy of the records and the business keeps a copy of the records? You
know, everything sits in the record. All the records are made, done, put together, printed, and put into the company. The company keeps all the records. They have a legal obligation to keep them.
Okay, no, I was just wondering how that works.
Yeah.
But
every time I go back in, I make sure they're there. I make sure we've done everything. I make sure everything's right, you know.
And so you'll do as part of the service, you'll do kind of an annual audit, as you said, you'll come in and make sure that every 12 months that we're up and running. So just hopefully, and don't want to cause offense here, but hopefully we wouldn't see you too often, then that things would be going so smoothly that we'd only have to see maybe.
I have companies that say to me, Shane, once a year is fine. We're going to be really good. We're going to do everything right. Yeah. I tend to like to go in every 6 months, but a lot of companies get us every 2 months, and the pay for us to come out to make sure that everything's right. I mean, it all depends on what sort of a budget somebody has. You know, I have companies in, you know, industrial companies that have 25, 30 staff. I'm with them every month. Every month, 3 hours in, visit, make sure everything's right, you move on. You know, we do that. You know, it depends on what you want, but again, it's about how they take it. It's about how safety conscious they are. It's about how financially secure they feel they are. Because when a small business is hit with a bill for 150,000, it can close them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know? I agree. Absolutely. Yeah. You know? Anyway, so basically, to sum up all of that, we're saying you provide a bespoke service. You'll come in, you know, at the minimum that's legally required. And if a business wants more than that, if they want somebody for want of a better description to hold their hand a bit, you'll work with them on that as well.
Yeah.
I think we've kind of covered everything then. In terms of pricing, obviously these things are bespoke and people should go to your website and maybe send an email. Maybe you can give us some details there. So that the website is, I had it there up now, it's pembrokealliance.com.
Yeah. We have a new website being built specifically for HR and health and safety.
Okay.
We're building it specifically and it'll be up and running mid-January, and it's a very good site. But like, you can give everybody my mobile number my email address. Anybody that really is keen on getting me to come out and talk to them, I'm certainly happy to have a Zoom call with them. If there's anybody, you know, that feels they'd like to talk further about it, I'm definitely happy to take any emails from anybody. There's no problem there. And very simply, I can give somebody a quote. I can let them know. Somebody says, listen, we have a budget of 5 grand. What can you do for that? Somebody says, a budget of 15 grand. What can you do for that? It all depends, you know, but everything's tax deductible. all the health and safety costs that go through a business are all, you know, they're all tax deductible. So a lot of people see it as just smart money. Spend the money smartly and we won't get caught out. And ultimately, that's what we are hoping people do, you know.
Shane McGuinness of Pembroke Alliance, thank you very much for talking to me today. Much appreciated.
My pleasure.
For more information about Shane and his services, we'll have links on the iWin website, www.iwin.ie. That's great. Thanks very much.